¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadot Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
RJ's Yacht Rock is dope. Although you got off it now. But
well, it's intro to the hour.
Art enjoyed it. What else did people say? Oh, I learned that someone named their kid Ryland this weekend. That okay. That is something I didn't know either. I never heard of the name Ryland. Give JJ the ball, shake his hand, take a picture, say congratulations. Negotiating ad nauseum by announcers was annoying crap. What was JV to do? Say no after all that? That's true.
Well, okay. So did you think for those? So the Astros won yesterday 4-3. It got a little shaky with Hector Neris, but it wasn't really his, like.
He's terrible lately.
He had an exploding bat single, and then you had a ball carom off of a crazy carom.
Still roped it down the line.
Now, that was a rope, yeah. But it was a carom that ended up scoring a run. Then you had a ground out that scored a run from the carom. Like, he didn't get crushed. It was just what we come to expect.
He hasn't been good lately.
No, it was another 2 runs. And then Presley actually was dominant. I mean, it should have been a strikeout, the guy that got on base. And then he took care of business after that. But
Thank you. It's about damn time said something nice about Presley.
Well, because it's about time he had one of those performances, but he did.
Right.
I mean, yeah,
the first guy
got on base, but the
Harrison
truth is,
swung.
He was so far. The announcer even, I don't know who was in there with Eduardo Perez and Carl Ravitch. I don't know who the other voice is. Y'all can hit me on Twitch or on Twitter. But he's like, wow, he swung so much, that could have been a double down the line. Like, that was... Yeah. That was a swing, basically,
right,
that they didn't call on him. But, man, what did you think about the technology on the broadcast? I'm just going to tell you I liked it. And I was thinking about this. You look at the technology and the sabermetrics that are involved in broadcast today, what the Astros use with Jeff Blum and Julia Morales. And let's go back 6 years. You look at a broadcast of any TV local or national, and the K-Zone stuff that they have, you know, that's great. But what they had yesterday was spin rate on pitches, drop rate, what percentage? That's 34% greater spin rate than the major league average. I really think that adds context and adds something to the broadcast. I'm happy with that technology and the metrics being involved in the broadcast. I think it makes it a better broadcast, and I think that you know, basketball could do more of it because they have more of it. I think baseball's doing an amazing... For the one that's behind the time, supposedly, the most, from a broadcast standpoint and a media standpoint, they are the most in front of everything. Yeah. They're at the forefront when it comes to introducing...
It all started with golf, with the tracer.
Well, they had the tracer, but the technology of spin rate that they catch from Hawkeye or whatever the system is that is used, the spin rate stuff being caught in-game... Yeah. And the drop and how sharp the drop of the breaking pitches.
No.
Dude, I thought that was great on the broadcast.
All right. Paolo Bancaro. This weekend, he met the media. And it's starting to get out there now. Apparently, Chet Holmgren doesn't want to go to Orlando. Okay. Apparently, who else? Oh, Paolo followed everybody on Orlando's team, right? Paolo followed all those guys. Wow. Does Jabari not want to go to Orlando? Because I think it's going to be Jabari. I think Chet Holmgren. And my worry is that Paolo's going to be second, and then the Rockets are going to get stuck with Chet Holmgren. That's my worry. And if that's the case, I mean, I think that that's the third choice to me. I haven't studied, you know, just to me, just with my human eyes, I don't know. Chet Holmgren may be the best player of all of them. I don't know. It turned out, you remember, Markel Fultz was number one. When did Jason Tatum go? Third?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it turned out, yeah, the third guy was the best guy in that draft.
Maybe. So what you're saying is maybe Chet Holmgren is
maybe,
the best
or
player.
If it's Paolo Banchero, well, they made a mistake. Oh,
so,
well.
This is so strange that we're already, so it's been Chet Holmgren doesn't. Supposedly, he doesn't want to play for Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, Paolo Banchero does want to play for Orlando. Then he's following Orlando players on social media. But wait, Jaden Ivey doesn't want to play for the Kings. Like, I don't care where you want to play. Who cares?
What? Yeah.
Who cares? And sit out. And don't collect millions. Just draft them. But it's amazing that these are stories when, you know, guys follow certain players for certain teams. Orlando's not going to draft you based on if you're following people. Like, Orlando's going to draft you if they think you're the best fit for Orlando. This is not Scott Boras in Major League Baseball draft.
Right.
I don't think.
So, asked what it would mean if he was selected third by the Houston Rockets. Here's Paolo.
I mean, I'll be blessed to hear my name called by any of the top three. Houston included, you know, I think they got a good situation that they're building. And, you know, if they were to add me, you know, to that and made me a part of it, it would be a blessing. But like I say, you know, any of the top three, I'd be happy with. But Houston is a great spot as well.
Well, that just told me, hey, what would it mean to be selected third? Well, any of the three. Listen, any of the three, I'd like to go there. If you one or two want me, you know what? You can call my name if one or two want me. Not, oh, no, I definitely want to go to the Rockets. Of course, you can't say that.
Who's number two right now?
Oklahoma City.
Yeah, Oklahoma City. Does anyone want to go? Are there stories, RJ, about guys who are, like, they don't want to go to Oklahoma City? I would think that's everybody.
No, as far as what I saw, Chet wants to go to OKC. They're saying that's where
he
wants to go.
But that's because of the wispy hair and the facial features.
Well, yeah, and
that's because of how
gonna,
he looks.
Because you're
he
gonna
looks
be,
Oklahoma City.
Because, you know, you're 7 foot tall, but you're going to pretty much be anonymous.
Yeah, I mean, right. He's kind of an Oklahoma City guy. He could grow a wispy mustache.
Yeah,
it's like,
I mean, you don't want to be in a big city. I'm at Gonzaga. What about Paolo playing with Jalen and Kevin Porter Jr.?
And those are two extremely skilled, extremely talented players, you know, both who I've known for a while. Kevin being from the same city, Jalen, just known him since early high school years, going to camps and stuff. And it would be, I feel like it would be fun, you know. Those guys are both unselfish, both seem like they want to win, and both of me are exciting, so. You know, if they were to add me to that, you know, I think it would just elevate, you know, them more, elevate myself, and elevate the team. So
I'm kind of glad they're third. As long as Paolo falls
to them. I wish they
were
second.
You do?
Yeah, I wish they were second. I'm not being greedy at number one. I'm just saying it. Number two.
If they were one, who would they take?
You know, I don't know.
They might take Paolo.
I don't know. They might take Paolo. They might take Paolo, they might take Jabari, but from a fit standpoint, a size standpoint, I don't know. You know, I really don't know. I don't know who they'd take. I don't know if there is – it feels like there's a – well, so Mike Schmidt, the NBA draft analyst from Draft Express who joined ESPN and who's now going to be assistant GM for the Portland Trailblazers after this draft is over, he was acting like this is – potentially a Chet Holmgren thing, that this is between Jabari and Chet Holmgren. I think we are more down on Chet Holmgren than maybe the NBA is going to be. I think the NBA is going to see him as a player with a diverse skill set who has the ability to rise up over other people and make shots, can be a weak side shot blocker. I think Chet Holmgren is going to be more coveted than we probably think. My guess is, you know, maybe there's a chance Jabari Smith ends up third. I don't think so. The odds don't say that. But it is going to be interesting because I don't think there's a clear-cut idea of what 1-2-3 looks like. I really don't. I've seen what the odds look like, but the odds don't know anything. Just we get the odds and they just go talk to the odds about Trayvon Walker being the first pick. He was a huge underdog for a long time. So I really don't know what that's going to look like.
So
I want Banchero.
So number third overall pick last year? Evan Mobley.
Pretty good.
LaMelo Ball before that.
Man, a lot of rookies of the year.
Real good. RJ Barrett. Luka Doncic.
Wow. Three greater than one.
Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown. Jahlil Okafor. Bust. Joel Embiid.
These are threes?
Number three. Pick three. Round one, pick three. Otto Porter Jr. Bradley Beal. James Harden.
Golly.
Al Horford.
These are a ton of all-stars.
Michael Jordan. Number three overall pick ain't so bad.
It's better than one.
It could. You look at this list, yes, it's quite possible. Well, for sure it was when Jason Tatum was picked. You know, Markelle Fultz or Jason Tatum. Yeah. It's not so bad to be number three. Let the first two make their mistakes, and then you pick the obvious, the next choice. Hopefully that's going to be Paolo. We'll see. I think he's quite possible. I really like him. Out of all the guys, even if I was picking one, I'd take Paolo.
If you look at the all-time number one picks, I mean, look at the all-time number one picks. Cade Cunningham, Anthony Edwards, those are a couple of pretty good players in the 2020s. Here's the 2010s. Zion Williamson, DeAndre Ayton, Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, John Wall. Some really good players in there. Really good players. There's also some, I mean, Zion, we'll see what happens. DeAndre Ayton, good player.
Good player.
Good player. You know, Markelle Fultz, busty, had some injuries, whatever. Ben Simmons, not a great rep right now.
Nope.
Not a great rep. Karl Anthony Towns, good player. Andrew Wiggins, you know, the recency is you feel good about it, but he hasn't played like a number one pick of the draft. He's been a good player, but nothing. Anthony Bennett, massive bust. Anthony Davis has been great at times. Kyrie Irving is a great player, just, you know, enigmatic. And John Wall, we know the injury history. In the 2000s, Blake Griffin ends up being a good player. Derrick Rose, injury. Greg Oden, bust. Andre Bargnani, bust. Andrew Bogut, Dwight Howard, good player. LeBron, great. Yao Ming brought China into the NBA, basically. You know what? Yao's going to be most famous.
Hall of Famer. You don't have to apologize for Yao.
But Yao is going to be most famous for bringing all of China's business interests into the NBA and the NBA now being owned by China, basically. Kwame Brown, nothing. Kenyon Martin, you know, okay. Yeah. Elton Brown, Michael Olowokandi, Tim Duncan, Allen Iverson, Joe Smith, Glenn Robinson, Chris Webber, Shaq, Larry Johnson, Derek Coleman. My guess is the number ones are going to be better than the number threes over the course of three decades. But I would also argue that there's bigger impact players. The number threes you were just saying are like, holy crap.
Luka?
What a
Jason
list.
Jason Tatum?
Those are all-time greats, potentially. Yeah. Maybe Embiid, not Tatum.
LaMelo.
I mean, these are
Bradley Beal.
We're talking MVP
James Harden.
Candidates.
I mean, there's some names.
These are
now
MVP candidates.
Yep.
How many of these guys?
Or MVPs.
Oh, the last? Okay. How many of these guys? Cade Cunningham, Anthony Edwards, Zion, DeAndre Ayton, Markelle Fultz, Ben Simmons, Cat, Andrew Wiggins, Anthony Bennett, Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, John Wall, Blake Griffin, Derrick Rose. Boom. The last number one pick to win an MVP was Derrick Rose in 2008. Then before that, Oden, Bargnani, Bogut, Dwight Howard, LeBron James. Boom. Won an MVP. Yao Ming, Kwame Brown, Kenyon Martin. So over the last 20 years, 22 years, the last 2 years shouldn't really count. I mean, I can go back. Elton Brand, Michael Olowokandi. Okay, since 1998, two number one picks have won MVPs.
That's it.
That's it. And of course, you get to Tim Duncan. Did Duncan ever win an MVP?
Oh, I'm I don't
know. He played in the Jordan era.
We'll look it up on the other side. Right now, let's talk about a little QC Kinetics.
QC Kinetics. It's never too late for you to look into the chronic pain that you're dealing with your shoulder, with your elbow, with your knee, with your hip, with your back. It's never too late because here's the thing. Though the damage that you have to the tissue in there, it can be restored and regenerated when you go with QC Kinetics. And QC Kinetics, their technology their process, which is all natural biological therapies, It is restorative and regenerative. What they do is they take growth properties from your own body, they highly concentrate it, they put it back into the joints, and what you have is a regrowth of tissue and a restoring of tissue. And that's incredible because you start to have less pain. One of the listeners, that a guy named Ken, one of our listeners, he said, I went in for a labral tear that has caused me all kinds of issues in terms of pain. He said, Lance, after one treatment, I've already gone from an 8 to a 5 on the pain scale. And so he's going to go in for more, and that's what you do. A lot of times it takes 3, sometimes 4, and you're back to like you were before. And it's incredible to get rid of that chronic pain and to have the mobility back in your life. All natural, restorative, regenerative technology is here in Houston, and it's waiting for you with QC Kinetics. Call them today and get set up. 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285, or go to QCKinetics.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. The godfather of Houston sports radio. The preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
What?
Never coming near what you wanted to say.
I got a list for you. Well, then, Steve, you agree or disagree?
That's all I do at the house. I just deal with
15 lists. 15 teams that aren't scary anymore. Number one on the list, Nebraska.
This is going to be a hard list because we're going back. That Nebraska hasn't been scary for well over.
That's what I'm saying.
For like 2 decades.
No. This is dead on. When was the last time Nebraska was good? Johnny Rogers?
I mean, it's been a long time. Nebraska was scary.
For those of you that are younger,
Johnny Rogers, you could go back to they were pretty scary with the black shirts in the '90s, and they're really really good.
Yeah,
national champs.
Etienne. Yeah.
Christian Christian brothers, Lawrence Phillips, all that stuff.
Yeah,
I remember
they were really scary, physically
scary.
Yeah, that's right.
Christian Peter too. Yes, they had some bad dudes on that team.
No. They won 3 titles.
Went to a national championship game
and
got smoked in the early 2000s, too. But it's been, Texas is on the list.
For those of Texas is second.
Yeah. You got
The last time Texas
was good. Is this just college football?
College football.
Oh, okay. I thought we were doing all sports. It's going to be hard.
No.
Yeah, I think, I think it's pretty easy. I mean, you go with, is Penn State on that list?
Penn State's on the list.
Okay. So I'd say Penn State. Texas.
There's a few of them that are easy.
Yeah. UCLA.
UCLA was never really that scary.
Then USC is on the list.
USC is on the list, except that's the only one I disagree with. Look at them now. They got Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams.
But until they do something, I think the whole thing
But these other schools that aren't on the list, what do we know that they're going to do?
But
at least I know USC. No, listen. You take the over on USC.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, I thought Chip Kelly was going to work wonders at UCLA, and it's taken a long time. Sometimes it takes a long time. Notre Dame on that list?
No. Notre Dame's been in champion of the
playoffs. Yeah, but they always get smoked. Notre Dame's a weird one because every time they get bumped up, every time you think they're getting ready to do something, they get pounded. Like, they get pounded when they face good teams. That's why they're kind of a sneaky one. But they do get to those big games. I get that. You can't say Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma's been there.
Oh.
Let's see.
What's obvious?
If it's obvious, not Oregon, you're probably going Big Ten?
No. ACC.
Are you going? Oh, well, Miami.
Miami's one of them, but there's one that's even more.
Not Clemson.
Florida State.
Oh, yeah.
Florida State.
Yeah, Florida State,
I mean,
for
they're
sure.
Awful. And
Florida
they
State's
were,
top five.
That was in the 90s?
Ever since Jimbo left. Well, in the 90s, when Bobby Bowden, we just have all kinds of good kids.
Since Bobby Bowden, Jimbo Jimbo had the 1 year.
Jimbo had the year. Yeah. But since Jimbo left, it has gone in the tank.
It's been terrible.
I mean, literally in the tank. I would say your top five have to be, in no particular order, it would be Nebraska, Texas, Penn State. You're looking for perennial powers. Probably Penn State, Florida State, and then
Penn State, though, is kind of weird in that they're competing for Big Ten titles still. Man, I mean, it's not like they're out of it.
Not really. When's the last one they won? I mean, Wisconsin won 20 of them.
They had ahead a play against Ohio State. Otherwise, they win the Big Ten a couple of years ago.
But they don't win Big Ten. But they're
finishing second in the Big Ten as opposed to Florida State, who's finishing last.
I'll bet you Wisconsin and Northwestern has both won more Big Ten titles over the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah, probably. But Penn State, don't forget the division. Penn State's in a tougher division, okay? They're with Ohio State, and Wisconsin isn't. Here's their five. Nebraska, Texas, Florida State, West Virginia, and Southern Cal.
West Virginia.
I would take Southern Cal out of there because I think they're much better.
But they haven't done anything yet, so we can't give them credit for what they haven't done. If you take out what you think they're going to do this year, and you just go
by
the rules?
Well, this says teams that aren't scary anymore. To me, Southern Cal is scary right now.
Okay, let's say they put that list out before. Let's say they put the list out after the year is over. Let's say they did
it in January. Yeah, right, that's a different story, but right now they are scary.
But if they put it out in January, would you have said yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because when's the last time they did it?
Yeah, no, I know that. But to me, right now, Southern Cal's scary.
You're scary until they play, baby. We'll see.
Tennessee should be
on that list.
Yeah, Tennessee
Yeah, because Tennessee actually won a national championship in, 98-99 with T. Martin. And even before then, you know, you had Peyton. It's been a while since they were factors.
No. And then they got Miami, Penn State, Washington.
Yeah, this is a good list.
That's a good list. Auburn is number 10 on this list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a little unfair. They just,
there has been 12 years since they won a national, won a national championship.
Yeah, but they've beaten Alabama. I mean, it's not like they just fell off the world.
Yeah, I guess
the
you
last
could
couple
argue.
Of world. Wait,
I guess you could
couple
argue
of,
about it.
Florida, they got next. Stanford, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, and Louisville. It's a pretty good list, and you know what? It's pretty. I would only disagree maybe with one or two, but it's amazing how you lose a coach, you lose a player, a key player, whatever the case may be, and the whole thing could just turn around on you, and it's turned around, especially Florida State. Holy crap! Since Jimbo's left, it's not only fallen off; it's a bad program.
I mean, it's a coach killing program.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Now, out of all those teams, which team do you feel will be back to being scary the fastest?
Southern Cal, to me. Lincoln Riley changes that program.
I still would not sleep on Texas. The NIL stuff has really put them in position with offensive linemen, quarterback.
You believe in Sark?
It's really like the players were immediately disrespecting his coaches. Like, I would be extremely concerned about the quit in the Longhorns last year. That players getting pummeled the way that they did, the team getting pummeled, that would be very scary to me. The way that they recorded a coach who was getting on them after a game and we were laughing and putting that out, man, you got to get those guys out of the program. You got some dudes in there that are just not real dudes. You got to get dudes in there. But I do know this, Texas has a ton of money, and in the past it hasn't mattered enough. Now with NIL, it's going to be a problem for some teams because Texas is going to buy. I know it's not Texas. It's not Texas A&M. It's separate LLCs that are because your licensing and your name is so important and your image is so important. No, these schools are buying players. Okay? Let's just say what it is. And Texas has gigantic wallets. They're going to buy some phenomenal players. And at some point, it's going to start to hit. And, you know, I don't know what it's going to be. It should have been over the last 8 years, and it hasn't happened. But I know Sark's a great offensive mind, and I know they're bringing some high-level talent. And to me, it's going to start in the trenches. When are you having first and second-round picks on your defensive line and offensive line?
When you pay them all $50,000 apiece.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe this will be it. Because I haven't seen offensive line. There's been more Northern Iowa offensive linemen drafted in the first three rounds over the last 2 years than Texas Longhorns in the last 10 years. That's a problem. You could say the same thing about Central Michigan. They have more players on the offensive line drafted than you have over the last 10 years in the first three rounds.
That's like, unbelievable.
What the hell? That's a Connor Williams and who? Connor Williams and who's the other guy? Oh, Sam Cosmi. That's what you've got. Connor Williams and Sam Cosmi are what the Longhorns have over at least the last 8 years, maybe 10 years, from a top three round standpoint. That's terrible.
Awful.
I mean, that's terrible. So who are your great pass rushers off the edge? You know, when Texas can figure out the trenches, you look at Texas A&M, and Texas A&M has had some up and down, but they've had their ups. Look at how many players, Miles Garrett, first pick. Von Miller, it's been a while now, but you have Jake Matthews, fifth pick. Jermaine Ifedi, whatever you think about him. What's his name? The other offensive line, Luke Jokel. He was a bust, but he was drafted, number two in the draft behind Eric Fisher. Like, they've had Eric McCoy, really good center, first-round center. Like, they're Kenyon Green, first-round guard. Look at Texas A&M. Jake Matthews, first-rounder. That's since 2014. Jake Matthews, Jermaine Ifedi, the other there's another tackle. I'm blanking out on his name. Luke Jokel, which I think was before 14, but Kenyon Green, Eric McCoy. Like, these are all Texas A&M guys. In that same time frame, no Longhorns.
Yep.
So that's the real key to me is offensive line and pass rush.
All right, breaking news and kind of a big deal for the Houston Rockets. We will talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk about some insurance.
TGS Insurance makes it easy for you. You text the word money to 232323. And what happens is they start to the process very quickly. Well, they'll text you back. It's automated. And they say, what is your address? You give them your address. And then it runs through the big algorithm they have on the back end. And they set you up with a variety of A-rated insurance companies. So they run your address through the algorithm. The A-rated insurance companies give you competitive prices, and they text it back with to you. And this happens within 15 seconds. I mean, it's incredible. You think 15 hours, 15 minutes even? 15 minutes would be fast. 15 seconds is insane. And yet, that's what they're doing. Get highly competitive A-rated insurance for your homeowner's insurance, and the average savings is right at about $900 for people who are switching over to the aggregated insurance search of TGS Insurance. And they're not an insurance company, but they find insurance companies for you that want your business and that still have great coverage. TGSinsurance.com. That's TGSinsurance.com. Make sure you text the word money to 232323.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, Shams Charania of The Athletic.
Uh-oh. There's bombs when Shams says stuff.
Nets and Kyrie Irving are at an impasse.
Oh, what?
He is moving on. It looks very much like he is going to be moving on. The Lakers and the Knicks are the favorites.
I want him to go to the Lakers.
But so it's
I hope you get him. RJ.
It is less than 2 years. I know he and LeBron back together. It is less than 2 years that you gave away James Harden and you made this trade. At the time, and because when you're talking about Kyrie, you're talking about Kevin Durant.
Oh,
you're
that's
talking
why you about, say it's big news for the Rockets.
It's huge news for the Rockets. Huge news for the Rockets. No, we knew it was going to implode. James and Kyrie Irving together. James and Kevin Durant.
Easiest
Kevin
call.
Durant and Kyrie. All three of those guys. All three of those.
Impossible.
Those head cases. All three of those egos. Staying together. Playing together. Winning titles in Brooklyn. It was a lock. You got to give big ups to Rafael Stone. for making this trade and getting all of those draft picks. It, you know, what is this one going to be? The 13th pick? Or what is it? The 17th pick?
17th
pick. This is the 17th pick.
Yeah.
Without Kyrie, now James is gone. Without Kyrie, how long is Kevin Durant going
to
stay
well,
there?
Remember, you get also on the off years,
you get to take a trade, a swap.
It's not outlandish to think that next year it's still probably an underdog that your pick is higher or is a later pick than the Nets. Probably. Well, we'll see.
Listen, dude, when it happened, the first thing I thought of was that this is for, when you're talking about 7 years of this stuff of swapping and taking their picks. This is a huge, huge win for the Houston Rockets. Huge win for the Houston Rockets. That Rafael Stone was genius in doing it this way. And it's already coming to fruition, not even 2 full years after James is gone.
You know, the argument was about the two players you didn't get from the Nets. The Nets dealt off young players who might have still been able to help. They got James Harden, and then Harden was gone. Harden pulled his Harden act. Kyrie pulled his Kyrie act. Please believe people when they tell you who they are.
Yes.
That's on the Nets for not believing Kyrie. When Kyrie has been telling everyone who he is. The next team that signs Kyrie is going to find out. Kyrie, if you read what Kyrie actually says on Twitter and some of the comments he makes, Kyrie Irving is on a different thing. Like, it's not basketball to him is what he likes to play, but I'm sure he loves the lifestyle gives him. Kyrie is not a baller, like a dude who can't wait to just play ball. That's not going to be Kyrie. Kyrie is going to, wherever Kyrie is going to be, he's going to have issues. And what's going to happen is it's going to pop up when he's done playing. You're going to hear Kyrie. When people don't want Kyrie anymore, it's going to turn into Kyrie has completely remade himself. He's gotten his passion and his hunger for basketball back. That's what's going to happen in the near future. You're going to hear that. You know, it's something that we didn't hear with Colin Kaepernick. When Colin Kaepernick didn't want to, when it looked like the NFL said, okay, let's, like, the most disappointing thing for me was Colin Kaepernick got a tryout in front of NFL teams and then didn't go to that tryout.
Yeah.
And went to some park. I'm like, what do you, then you're not even serious about this. This was literally a chance. I was hoping he would get this chance. The NFL gave it to him, and then he went to a park like, just never mind.
What about the
We're going to work
that
out
was
here.
Smoking out of his sunroof, the number one draft pick, the not number one, but the first-round draft pick. And once Tennessee cut him, and then he went to Miami, and he didn't even end up going to the interview.
No, Isaiah Wilson.
Isaiah Wilson.
Oh, my God. My dad worked with him pre-draft.
Yeah. But, okay, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you gotta want to be there, and then not all of a sudden when you're out for so long say, no, this time I really mean it. I really want to be like Kaepernick 3 years later worked out for the Raiders. Like, dude, you should have been doing this when you had your opportunity.
In what order do you want? What order? And you can get in, RJ. In what order do you want these guys on your team? Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Kyrie, James Harden, Ben Simmons.
Oh, my God. That's an all-star team right there when they're all playing together.
When they play.
I'm saying Kyrie.
You want Kyrie first?
Not Kyrie, I mean Kawhi.
You want Kawhi first?
I'm going Kawhi.
When's he around?
I don't know. Well, I mean, he was coming off an injury.
I mean, honestly, when is Kawhi around?
He was coming off an injury. What do you want? Yeah. He was injured.
Well, isn't this a
Justin
couple of
Verlander
years
missed
now?
2 years.
How long has he been
You keeping
injured?
That same energy for Justin Verlander?
Yes, right.
He missed 2 years. Kawhi missed
except,
2 years.
Except Saturday notwithstanding. What order? Who do you want first, RJ?
Rank them 1 through 5.
No, who do you want on your team first?
First?
I'll give you those 5 draft picks.
Okay.
Who are you going to draft?
I'm Kawhi.
It's a draw right now, but if I had to, I mean, well, he plays. James Harden.
Okay.
You would take James? See, that's why. I wouldn't take.
Like,
I don't know if I think.
Now, are we talking
James
about like fifth. Right now or the totality of their careers?
No,
right now.
Oh, right now. Oh, okay, yeah. So switch that. I'm probably healthy, Anthony Davis.
But no,
healthy.
There's no. You got to take him how as is.
As is.
But he can say Anthony Davis, and you just have to assume the health. Every one of these guys comes with a risk,
right?
I'm going Kawhi.
That's why
these are
the riskiest business.
Kawhi,
this is the riskiest business.
Kawhi
at the
to me,
top of the NBA.
Kawhi is the least risky to me. He's been out with a knee injury, and he had a He had an issue directly with Greg Popovich, who he'd been with for years. But Kawhi wins championships or damn near wins championships. To me, he's the least risky. Anthony Davis, once you start getting hurt, you stay hurt.
Well, that's Kawhi.
Who would yours be?
What do you mean?
Who would yours be?
I would probably take Kawhi, too. Kawhi first.
Now, who would five be?
Ben Simmons.
Simmons for me.
Four is James Harden.
Four for me is Kyrie. I think Kyrie does damage in a locker room.
I think James.
But it's hard because if James, I could deal with James when he's balling out and getting you 28 and all that stuff, but I'm not sure that's James anymore. I'm also not sure that maybe him having to play with Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid is not. James might still be a high scorer and all that stuff on a team where he's clearly the alpha. What happened was he tried to go ring chasing with other dudes, and he struggled to find his way. So maybe he is still a guy that's going to be highly productive, but it ain't going to be on a team where another player is the better player.
Well, guess what? He's on a team where another player is the best player. And
you know where he needs to go? Sacramento.
That's right. No, he needs to be there because that's exactly what he did.
27 a game. They'll pay him $38 million.
He was the boss here in Houston. It was there was no question who was the boss here in Houston, and James Harden took that role really well and dominated the ball, was the biggest ball massager in the NBA. He and Russell Westbrook, for years, they were the biggest ball massagers in the NBA, and it was a perfect situation for him. When he goes with other good players, he's like, oh, I got to pass. I don't want anybody to think badly of me. Oh, remember what Giannis said about me? I want to be somebody that everybody likes and plays with. Well, he was the last pick. He was the last pick in the NBA All-Star draft between when Giannis or was it LeBron and KD were picking, whoever it was they were picking. You know, James was the last pick because nobody wants to play with him. Anthony Davis is probably second on that list for me. Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Kyrie. The only reason Kyrie's third for me is because it's James Harden and Ben Simmons behind him. Otherwise, when he's on the court, boy, is he good. Boy, is he really, 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 really good.
I think so. If just based on that list, I've never seen Kawhi. At no point have I seen his skills diminish. Anthony Davis is a perennial injury. Big guys who look at Dream. You know, if you look at Dream had some injury issues that knocked him out every year for a while over the last 6 years of his career. Shaq stayed injured after a certain point. Shaq was an injury fest. Go look at how many games he missed every year. Bigs who have multiple years of injuries, it stays an issue for him. It doesn't get better. Ben Simmons, mentally soft, talented, but you can't unsee the mental softness. James Harden, the belief is he is on the way down. And so that leaves you with Kyrie, and you have to be willing to take Kyrie's nut job status. And I just don't know I could deal with Kyrie. Kawhi, for me, he had a knee injury. Okay. Somebody on Twitch said, he hasn't played for over a year. Yeah, because he had a knee injury. Or did you keep the same energy for the 2 years Justin Verlander was out? I mean, he looks like he's pretty good this year to me. Kawhi had a knee injury, so he didn't play. He had his issue however many years ago with Greg Popovich where he didn't play. I get that. I don't see a decline in talent. I don't see I see championships in his background. I see the ability to lead Toronto to a championship, to lead the Clippers to, you know, I mean, the Clippers were a much better team with Kawhi. We know he won championships with the Spurs, won a championship. Kawhi, to me, is the guy that from an injury standpoint, he has one knee injury that kept him out for a year, which is totally understandable. And they had a personality conflict, which, by the way, so has James, so has Anthony Davis, so has Kyrie, and so has Ben Simmons. Every one of these players sat out time because they had personality conflicts with teams.
Nope.
Every single one of them. So it's interesting. Kyrie sat out time. James, fat suit. Ben Simmons didn't play this year. Anthony Davis, the New Orleans basically said, just sit down with your T-shirts on and we know you don't want to play here. Rich Paul will get what he wants.
Kawhi,
we'll just do that.
With the Spurs.
And Kyrie had it with the Spurs. All five of those guys did it.
Yeah, Kawhi. 8:46.
Kawhi, to me, is the least likely to fall apart as a player or mentally. That's just Ben Simmons and Kyrie don't trust the mental.
No.
And James and Anthony Davis.
I don't trust him mentally either. I don't trust James mentally right now either.
No.
All right, time to talk about HRP. I trust them. We trust them here. We trusted them for years now here. We started with a different payroll company, and we just had to get away from them because they didn't grow with us. The HR&P will always grow with your business, okay? You're a different business if you go from 25 employees to 150 employees. You're a different business. And so they're going to customize a plan that's perfect for your business. And guess what? HR&P helps you grow. Listen, they can give you advice on – they're helping you with your taxes. They're helping you with your Affordable Care Act. It's a way for your business to grow. We don't talk about that nearly enough. It's how they assist you in these business needs. It's what they do every single day. Now, they're not in the insurance business. They're not in the 401k. They're not in the benefits packages business. So they give you those options when other payroll companies don't. They pretend that they're in the payroll business, but they're really making all their money off the benefits packages. Well, don't do that. Do what HR&P does. Specialize in payroll, specialize in HR, and let you do the rest, okay? And let your business grow, and HR&P will grow with you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5. Just keep moving till I don't know what to say.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here. We haven't talked about our Astros in a while. Okay. So they went 2 out of 3 from the White Sox. Looked like crap on Saturday. Looked great Friday night. Looked like crap Saturday, and then a 4-3, they willed one out and got the win on a couple of unlikely home runs. And, of course, the whole negotiation thing and whatnot. Okay, that was the whole baseball game. Whatever. Made that kid from London, Texas, who, won, by the way, won the 3A state title. Congratulations to London for winning the 3A state title.
It started a fight on Twitch about, and you and I have done this for years. We used to talk about Barry Bonds' home run ball. And this was actually a discussion and a topic back in the day about what would happen if you get Mark McGwire's home run ball or Barry Bonds' ball. I think we did it with both of them because Mark McGwire was headed for the single season record, and then Barry Bonds was single season record, and then it was the all-time home run record. And so we had discussions back in the 6-10 days about what would you do with the baseball. And would you keep it? Would you give it back?
That's a little different. That's going to grab you. If it's the all-time home run ball, that's going to grab you big money.
Yeah, but back in that day, there's still a lot of people who said they would just give it back to
right,
you.
Right, right.
I was one of those people. Now that I have to pay for college, I'm different.
Right.
I'm like,
but
no, I'm
this
keeping
is just,
this.
This is guy's first hit, first home run. That's a little different than
right.
the Barry Bonds 755 home run. Is it? Is that it now? No. What is 7? I'm not even sure what the home run record is now.
No one cares anymore.
I think it's 755. Anyway.
It is, but that number doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. No. So that whatever. We talked, I mean, that the whole broadcast was that thing. It was getting old. Let me ask you this. Mets, 2 here, and then 4 at the Yankees. What do you expect this week?
You know, honestly, not great.
Let's see. Okay, so Yordan is going to come back. We found out it's a hand.
Tuesday-ish. Dusty believes
he might
be back
tomorrow.
Tuesday.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. They're lucky it's not the Hammett bone, which we know is a heck of a...
Right.
Was it Jeff Bagwell that had the Hammett bone injury, I believe?
Was it? Yeah.
I think that's what his injury was in 94.
More than once. 94, yeah. But he's been hitting the hand more than once.
I would take.
Did you hear the exchange between Dusty and Chandler Rome?
I did not.
So Dusty was like, "Well, we'll see what happens." And Chandler's, "Well, what is the injury?" Well, I can't say. What? Why can't you say what is injured? Like, where is it injured?
Chandler was talking Chandler, that way?
Yeah, no. And Dusty, I think they have a little bit of beef, the two
obviously.
Of them. Yeah, because Chandler, he thinks that Chandler asked some tough questions. But you know what? That's Chandler's job, to find out stuff. And Dusty finally said, it's in the hand, okay? It's in the hand. So we found out, because Chandler Rome was persistent, that it was a hand. It's a hand injury. That's what's wrong with Ledmus Diaz banged up, Pena's banged up, Alvarez is banged up. Neris is banged up. Well, no, Neris is banged up right now. I don't know. Okay, there's six games against the Mets and the Yankees at Yankees. How many runs are the Astros going to score in this six games? We do this every week. Where I go have a few libations, we have about 40 guys, 40 men and women who we guess the number of runs for the week. What do you expect out of the Astros offense against the Mets and against the Yankees?
In eight games.
So they're going to face, tomorrow is we're not sure about the Yankees, who they're going to start. Carrasco starts on Wednesday. Then they're facing Talon, Severino, Cole, and Cortez.
I'm going to go 33.
That's a lot, bro.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I think one of these, I saw the 10 runs. They scored that one inning. So
know what their total was last week in the six games?
What?
With the 10 runs?
How much?
33. They needed 10 runs to get to 33.
My number last week should be more like 28. Their number should be like 29 right now.
You know what I put this week? 24.
All right, I'm gonna change mine. 31.
31, okay. Here's the deal.
That's in eight games.
I'm going to be very interested. I would love for
I'll
them.
Take a 4-4.
I would be just as happy with a 10-9 loss in New York as I would be with a 2-1 win. Because I'll know more about them if they can actually score 9 runs against the Yankees in a game.
Yeah, but you just told Jeremy Branham that's fool's gold.
Well, right, but I want to see them do that. What if they against do it, New York?
What if they do that with 7 runs, 1 inning?
It still doesn't prove, but at least I'll know that they can score some runs.
And then Jim Crane and James Click will say, "See, we knew we could score runs."
No, that's right. That's what's
so
scary.
You'd be scared. That's what's scary. You'd rather have that than a win.
No. But I would like to know that they actually can score runs against the Yankees. Because, and guess what? They're going to need in the playoffs against the Yankees. They're going to need runs because the Yankees are bombers. What do you expect them to do in New York against the Yankees? Do you expect them to win the series?
No.
Do you expect them to win 2 out of 4?
No.
Okay, so as honestly, is, as composed, honestly, as constructed right now.
My number would be Astros 1.5. If you had to bet it, would be 1.5. And I would say under would be like -140. Over would be like +120. It's not a huge, like, I think the Astros completely could get to 2 wins. I think 3 wins would be outstanding. But the hitting has been this has been a concern all year long. And you got to ask a lot of your best work has come against lesser teams. That's just the truth. I mean, I'm just going off the records. A lot of your best work with your pitching stuff has been against some of the worst lineups and teams, especially in your own division. You look at the Astros starting pitching has had some ups and downs here recently. There's been some ups and downs recently. The bullpen, I don't trust Hector Neris, and he's getting in a lot of games. I just think when you look at the lineup of the Yankees, by the way, Josh Donaldson had a little, I don't know if you saw that. That game was a bat flip factory.
Hey, yes.
I have never seen two teams turn it into the World Baseball Classic than what Donaldson got
hit in the back, right in the small of the back.
Threw his bat down hard and then had a home run and grabbed his nuts and pulled him up. That was the first move. I had to go back multiple times. It's real sly. Just goes after he hit his home run and he's walking.
Well, he flipped it first. Then he's staring at it. It was, Josh Donaldson. That was fun. Get this. Well, now, and I didn't even mention it. So, this run right here, the Mets here, at the Yankees for 4, at the Mets for 2, And then the Yankees come here on June 30th, a Thursday game, which is one of the makeup games for the Astros missing their second series of the season because of the lockout. Verlander against Cole on that Thursday here. You got nine straight against the Mets and the Yankees, four against the Mets, five against the Yankees.
It's good versus evil, honestly. The Astros, Verlander versus Gerrit Cole and the Yankees. This is a battle of good versus evil. There's a lot on the line for this. I've never seen Endgame or Infinity Wars. I saw like the last 15 minutes of Infinity War where that big guy where Thanos is getting the things to put in his glove and he's blowing everyone's faces off.
Oh, way to give it away.
That. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Guess what? He's the bad guy. Guess what? That's what the Yankees are. The Yankees are Thanos.
Do you think the rest of the world really looks at it like that?
Yes, I think they should.
If it's good versus evil,
Been exonerated.
It's Astros versus Yankees.
The Astros have been exonerated.
You think everybody's going, yeah, the Yankees are evil?
I think they view it as evil versus evil. That's the rest of the world.
Look at, yeah. Who cares who loses? They're Russia looking, and China. Go get it.
Yeah, I think that's how the rest of the world looks at it, but we know it's good versus evil.
Right.
I mean, Justin Verlander, good guy.
Great guy.
Gerrit Cole, bad guy.
Gave up a jersey. Didn't even have to.
Great guy. Gerrit Cole, bad guy.
Oh.
New York Yankees,
horrible person.
Bad guys. Astros, good guys.
Horrible person.
Josh Donaldson, have you heard the filthy mouth that guy has?
Nine games against those teams. Quickly, how many wins for the Astros out of nine? Your shot.
I thought it was eight games.
Nine. We added that one game.
Yeah, so I'm going to move my total back to 32 runs now.
No. We usually got those six. That's 1 week.
So
we got 2 weeks of Yankees and Mets.
No, eight.
The next 2 weeks are Yankees and Mets.
Wait. There's six games. That's how much you had? 24.
No.
But the eight games is what I gave my run count for.
You gave the for initial six
eight.
Games.
No, for six it'd be much lower than 31.
That's what I said. Yeah, it was six games.
21.
I got 24.
They can't score any runs. Right. What are you, crazy?
Right.
I would say 4-5. I'd be happy with 5-4.
5-4 would be awesome.
I'd be happy with 5-4.
I think it's probably going to be 4-5. We shall see. What if they go 6-3 against these guys? Guess what? Then Jeremy's right. We don't have to do a thing.
Now, what if it's mostly against the Mets they win and not against the Yankees?
That's a problem, sis.
Because that doesn't do anything for me.
That doesn't make it move. What if you don't have any Maestro Dobell?
Well, that's a problem. But luckily, I'm going to a tasting with Maestro Dobell when Mallory goes over to see my guy Derek over at Riel. And so I'm going to be involved in that tasting. Can't wait to have the Añejo Extra. Can't wait to have the Añejo, the Reposado. I've had the tasting before, so I know all about it. But it's always good to, when you have one of the top beverage directors and mixologists in the entire city who's taking the flavor profile of the smoked silver and deciding what type of, you know, of cocktail he's going to make out of that. That's even more exciting to have it right there in person. And that's what you have with Maestro Dobell. You have a great sipping tequila, without question. But you also have a tequila maker that is out there trying to create as many different tequilas and types of tequilas so that everyone who has a certain enjoyment level and a certain flavor profile that they're looking for can find a tequila that best suits them. Reposado, the Añejo, which I love the Añejo. Maybe yours is Cristalino, where they blend three different types of tequila, charcoal filter, age it, and then they get a brand new product. 11 generations of tequila makers from Tequila Mexico are not wrong. They know what they're doing, and you can taste the difference with Maestro Dobell. Go to Maestro Dobell and check them out. Wherever fine liquors are sold, it's Maestro Dobell.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.